Hello and welcome back to the first episode of Scottish football covered in 2025. I don't know about anything else, but it feels a bit weird to be doing this again. I know we've only done it for about 2 weeks, but it still feels a little bit nice to be back talking all things Scottish football. Hope all you guys had a very good festive break. Mac, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Really happy to be back. Hope we all had a nice Christmas and a good New Year. And it's been a very lively start to Scottish football in 2025 so far. So that gives us something to talk about.
It has. It's been very on brand for Scottish football. So we're there for it. Finlay, how are you doing?
No, I'm terrific. I was just at Hibs Rangers today, so my heart is still going, and no real time to relax after Christmas and New Year's with the results that have come in.
Absolutely not. And Archie, what about yourself? How are you doing? Snowed in down there?
Yeah, Happy New Year, everybody. Not snowed in, unfortunately. Not getting quite the amount of snow that we could have gotten on the other side of the year. But really happy to be back talking Scottish football, and can't believe we've already come this far over these last few months with the podcast.
Yeah, we're absolutely flying. Loving every second of it. I guess this gives me the chance to say thank you to everyone that tunes in each and every week. I know it's probably not that great to hear my voice, but everyone else on the podcast loves talking all things Scottish football, and that's what we're here to do. Don't you just love that self-deprecation? I love it. Yeah, 2025, it's been an interesting start. Just before that, Robbie will not be joining us today. He is snowed in, so it's just the four of us, and we are going to get started with Hibs versus Rangers coming into this match. Probably not a lot of people would have thought the result that happened today was going to happen. If you look at off the back of the previous results, Rangers obviously winning 3-0 against Celtic in the Old Firm game back on Thursday, and then Hibs, they had a lively little bit of fixtures before New Year, but they slumped to a 1-1 draw with St Johnstone coming into the game. I think most people probably felt the rising tide was with Rangers here. They came off a solid result against Celtic, a result they fundamentally deserved. I don't think any Celtic fan out there will say no, Rangers didn't deserve it. Celtic were, frankly, I would probably say appalling and the worst performance I've seen from them this season. Mac, how did you see this one shaping up, and were you expecting a 3-3?
I don't think anybody could have expected for each, but there were still question marks despite the win against Celtic. There's still question marks about Rangers away form, and that just kind of the questions were kind of no question. What am I talking about? But there were question marks over their away form, and then it showed that they still struggle away from home. It was, I think, but I think it 2-0 up. You definitely never expected Hibs to get back into the game. So I suppose it's just an indication of how well they're doing under David Graham, but a good decision it was to stick by him, let him implement his philosophy, and it was a brilliant game. It was I sat there and watched it. It was really good to watch.
What about yourself, Finlay? You were there. What did you think pre-match? What was your kind of thoughts going into that? And then how did that sort of shape up second half and full time?
I think I had this one a bit. Maybe Rangers would be a little bit tired. I think they've struggled in kind of congested games, and the thing that you'd say about Rangers is they get one good result and then they fail to back it up. But you felt that the result against Celtic was so impressive that they'd just taken things to a new level and they'd be able to kick on. And I never ever thought, I still don't think they're going to catch Celtic. I don't think there's any chance. But you thought, well, they're going to give them a good run, maybe narrow that gap. But, after half an hour, they kind of just stopped playing. It's not as if they didn't want to. I think they just had some kind of, maybe they are knackered, as Philippe Clement kept saying, and I know he gets made fun of a lot for the sports science chat, but they do look tired and they are leggy at the back. They're missing a lot of players, but I would rather give credit to Hibs, who even at 2-0 down after half an hour, never really stopped. Then they went down again 3-2 and just kept fighting. And I think David Gray receives a lot of crit or received a lot of criticism in the past, and I think he deserves the equal amount of support now that things are going well. So I would say more impressive, or like I'd rather talk about Hibs than I would Rangers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think, and people can sort of disagree with me on this, but the whole chat around sports science, yeah, it has its place. But I mean, we were talking about players like Vaclav Cherny not playing against Motherwell pre the derby because he was tired. I don't know. Not for me, that one. I don't think a sports scientist gets to decide who plays and who doesn't, and who, you know, might be a case of, yeah, do you know what, he's looking a little bit leggy, he's looking a bit tired. But yeah, I don't know. Not for me, the whole sports science stuff that Philippe Clement came out with. Yeah, not for me. Like, yeah, it has its place in football, but it shouldn't fully dictate what sort of goes on and who plays and who doesn't. That final say sort of shouldn't always come down to the manager. Archie, what about yourself? For weeks on the podcast, at the beginning of the season when we started, we were always talking about David Gray being on like a shaky peg. He's proved some doubters wrong, and I mean, this result and then previous results over the last couple of weeks have really Hibs seem in a much better place. They obviously won the Edinburgh Derby. What was your thoughts going into it from a Hibs perspective?
Yeah, it was a bit of a wacky game, this one. Definitely one of the better early kickoffs I've watched as a neutral fan. I think obviously it would have been good spirits for Clermont's side if they could have bounced off that win against Celtic, but I think the result, as we've talked about, really speaks more for Hibs' spirit in this game. You know, we saw it in the game against Aberdeen when they went a goal down and went on to get that emphatic 3-1 win. Same against Ross County, I think earlier in the season as well. It takes them time, but they're ultimately getting the wins and they're making moves in the table. And you know, for Rangers, you know, it's these kind of games that need strong focus on to try and mount the pressure on Celtic. But I think, like we've already talked about, the focus really needs to be on Hibs for this game to have drawn out the result and ultimately get the draw. But no, credit has to go to them, certainly.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't think anyone's going to sort of disagree and say that, you know, Rangers were too tired and this, you know, it's not down to Rangers being too tired. I think it was just down to the grit and determination that Hibs had sort of going into it, you know, the resolve to be 2-0 down to come back and snatch a draw. Yeah, massive credit to them. Let's talk about Hamza Egeman. Seems to be the man for Philippe Clement in terms of who plays up front. He has the choice of Danilo, Dessers as well, but Egerman really starting to show his quality. Finlay, what do you make of him?
I am a massive fan of Hamza Egerman. I think at the start of the season, I had my doubts, and not because he was a bad player, but because it was quite soon. And the jump from playing in Morocco to, you know, this is a player who's never had a senior cap for his country coming in. I thought he would be a player that would maybe take, and Philippe Clement alluded to this in his press conference, that this was a player who would take, a lot of people said, a year to get into the team. And just a few months on, he's now 10 goals in 11 games. And more importantly, it's the style of striker that he is. So when Dessers was playing, you know, Dessers got over 20 goals last season. That's fantastic. But a lot of fans were frustrated because Dessers wasn't taking typical chances that strikers are expected to take. And technically not a bad player, but just couldn't finish these key opportunities. And Dessers, you know, sorry, Egerman comes in and scores important goals against Nice. He scores against Tottenham. And when it's half time, 2-0 down against Motherwell, who does Philippe Clement bring on? It's Egerman. He scores twice and rescues a point for them. I think what I like about him is that he's a bit of an old school striker. He's goal hungry. My only concern is Dessers is not really going to score much more, I don't think. And Danilo, I think, is also better served just playing off the striker. So how often can he actually play Egerman, who's still in his first season, without injuring him? And then what happens when Egerman's out? You maybe lose a lot of your goals. So it's maybe in that department might be actually important to listen to the sports scientists.
Oh, okay. No, I mean, that's fair. I think that's something Rangers have really lacked is a presence up front. I think it's what he gives them. But no, I do take your point, is that you don't want to place him in there all the time, and then the risk is he gets injured, and then you're like, okay, who do we have to go back to? No, that's absolutely fair. I did have one other question. The penalty for Hibs seems across social media to be dubious. Finlay, you were there. Tell us, do you think it was a penalty?
I think so. I think Cadden is running in, and Yanis Hadji kind of interrupts his momentum. It's more if you're running and someone kind of clatters into you, what would you have done if that play hadn't come? He was through in on goal. Hadji, I don't think, gets the ball. I would say definite penalty. I know a lot of people have said it isn't, but it's just
Yeah.
about the way they run into each other. I don't know if any of you actually disagree.
Mac, you've seen it. You watched the game. What do you think?
No, it's definitely a penalty. I think it's one of the ones. My pet hate in football is when people say it's too soft to be a penalty. But, like, if that's anybody else in the park, it's a free kick every day of the week. Just because it's inside the box doesn't make any difference. And it's just a bit clumsy for Hadji. That's all it is. It's just. I think Hadji has to be a bit more street smart, in that situation. But Cadden plays it well, and there is contact that goes down that as a penalty.
Yeah, I heard someone suggesting that, it was hip to hip. It wasn't anything more than that. If it was shoulder to shoulder, it wouldn't have been a penalty. I feel like we can try and like make these flimsy arguments as much as you want. And I think as a Rangers fan, you definitely see it differently, right? But I think the most open-minded sort of pragmatic Rangers fans will be saying, yeah, listen, fair enough. I guess for the frustration for many is just that consistent decision making from referees, because John Beaton had no qualms about it. He decided it was a penalty for him. VAR didn't overrule it. I guess it just comes back to that argument about referees being consistent, because there aren't other games where that decision probably wouldn't have went the way of Hibs. It probably wouldn't have been a penalty, but I guess it's just marking that and making that more consistent. From Leith to Glasgow, Celtic were taking on St Mirren and rounded off with a routine 3-0 victory. A strong bounce back from Celtic, you would say, after Thursday's demolition at Ibrox. Archie, how important was it for Celtic to bounce back today? They're 11 points clear. Well, they would have been 10 points clear in the league at the time kickoff would have happened. They've went 13 points clear. How important was it for Celtic not to let that cushion almost that they have over Rangers lead into complacency?
I think it's massive, isn't it? I think they've really put the midweek behind them, and I think it's in a really good fashion today against St Mirren. Nicholas Kuhn showed that amazing stature in his side. They've talked about doubts in the squad for him, but he's really like established himself with the two goals that he got today. And of course, credit to Trusty as well for his header. But I think it was really important that they acted on Rangers' slip up, and I think that's almost a bit poetic that Rangers end up slipping up after the want of a better word demolition job in midweek. But I think it just adds more to the result, doesn't it? It was a big ask for St Mirren anyway, but Celtic got the job done. So I think credit to them. They did what they set out to do, and they really showed their tactical masterclass in this game, definitely.
Mac, for you, did you think getting into this game, it was a massive game for Celtic, right? You want to bounce back in the right way. Did you ever have the feeling that it could be a little bit of a banana skin and that Celtic could slip up St Mirren? They've had a really strong season. Stephen Robinson has them and playing a decent brand of football. They picked up a win over Rangers on Boxing Day. What were you thinking?
One thing I always say about St Mirren is they are quite hard to break down. I think Stephen Robinson's teams have always set up that way, especially when they go away to Ibrox or Celtic Park. And you noticed it right from the start. Zach Kamen was take just it's the small things. He was taking a lot of time taking his goal kicks, but then there's just that builds a sort of frustration amongst the supporters, and then everybody gets a bit angsty. It was a bit of a turgid start to the game, but once the goals came, I think once one it's like usually once one goal comes, they all come. And then interesting to see Austin Trusty back in the Celtic team. His absence it was ever so strange. I thought had a bad 45 minutes against Rangers and then wasn't seen for the best part of 4 weeks, but he got his first goal. And then I think when Nicholas Kuhn's playing the way Nicholas Kuhn plays, there's no defenders that can stop him.
That's an interesting point you make. Trusty obviously back in the team ahead of Liam Scales. I mean, I don't know for many people, but if you watched the game at Ibrox on Thursday, you would have thought Liam Scales had won a competition to be there with how awfully bad he played. And I'm not one for jumping on a player's back, but I mean, if he hadn't have been out of the team today, you would have, I mean, I think a lot of Celtic fans would have been left scratching their heads there because it was, I mean, it was an awful display on Thursday. I seen on social media a lot of people were ripping. Well, I think most of the Celtic team got ripped into on Thursday, but I mean, Liam Scales was, some of his passing was abysmal. So to see Austin Trusty back in the game after a bad 45 minutes against Rangers, I think a lot of Celtic fans would have been happy to see that. Paid 6 million thereabouts for him. Can be and probably will be a big player for Celtic, especially if him and Cameron Carter-Vickers keep building that. But yeah. Finlay, what about yourself? What did you think? You obviously knew the result at Easter Road. What were you thinking for this? Do you think it was a banana skin for Celtic?
I always thought that they would win. If it had been away, maybe I would have had a doubt, but this isn't a really, like we've seen this season, it's not a Celtic team that has blips. One loss and they usually just bounce back, or one draw against Dundee United, they bounce back. So I never really had any doubts about the result, but it was more important that they just put in a dominant display and that the players who had, like you all mentioned, had bad games or had a bad game against Rangers put in a display. And I think they did that. And I think Nicholas Kuhn, Brendan Rodgers was kind of quick to say, he played really well, but he's not done yet. And maybe that's a sign that some players are maybe needing to keep their eye on the ball in every game and just make sure that they're not thinking about, maybe I'm being harsh, but maybe it's important that they don't think about where they're going to be if they play well for Celtic. And, Carter Vickers, clean sheet for him, a lot of rumours circling around where he'll be come the summer, a lot of people sniffing around him. So when you talk about Liam Scales, there's a question as to whether he actually needs to be playing more just in case something happens, just in case Trusty goes down or Carter Vickers is sent, sold for what I think is a fair bit of money. But this game is important. You got everyone back in form, and I think they'll just carry on and probably win the next five games at this rate.
Yeah, I mean it was, as you say, a dominant performance, and it almost it had to be. Brendan Rodgers in his post-match press conference hit out at supporters. Now I bring this back to your point, Mac, is at 0-0, it probably feels angsty. Ball's been passed around the back. Players, fans getting on backs of players, being like, pass it forward, do it this way. Brendan Rodgers is quick to shut that down. He says that chanting and singing and celebrating when you're 2 and 3 nil up is great, but we also need that when it's 0-0, and not to get on the backs of the players to support them, because at the end of the day, they're not passing around the back for the fun of it. It's just to try and break down that new wave of attack. And he also had comments to make on Greg Taylor, who by all accounts went up the tunnel at full time, didn't do the usual lap of honour with the Celtic team, going round clapping the fans, which has been traditional at Celtic for the past 8 or 9 years. I believe, as someone that didn't see the game or wasn't at the game, work takes over, it's a way of life. But songs of Kieran Tierney were being sung. We know he's rumoured with a move back to Celtic. Brendan Rodgers wasn't really that happy with it at all. So, yeah, what do you make of that, Mac?
I've just seen Brendan Rodgers comments about it now, saying it's a total lack of respect. I think he's absolutely wrong and incorrect in that. It's fans getting excited about signing a homegrown player, re-signing who was a fan favourite. He's £25 million Arsenal paid for him. He's a Scotland international. He's on his day, he's world class. The fans are absolutely right to sing about him. I don't think it's disrespectful to Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor knows where he stands in the team. If Greg Taylor wants a song, he can sit, extend his contract. It's quite as simple as that. It's not like a disrespect at all. But then, and then I think equally, the I know the Celtic are really good at supporting their team through the bad times. I don't think I think he's kind of blew out of proportion. I've got a lot of time for Brendan Rodgers, obviously, but I think he's a bit out of line in his post-match conference comments.
Finley, Archie, anyone see that differently?
I would say, Mac is right in the sense that he's maybe out of line. I do understand why Greg Taylor would walk, like you said, straight into the tunnel and do a lap of honour. I don't think it's, anyone's in the wrong. I just know, not that I ever will know what it feels like to be a Celtic left back who's been there for that many years and won that many trophies, but I would feel maybe slightly hurt that as I'm putting in a clean sheet winning performance, someone like my own fans were singing about someone else coming in. So I understand from that perspective why he might feel aggrieved.
Okay, I mean that's fair. I think for a lot of Celtic fans, it's like for Greg Taylor, he's always been that player that Celtic fans will go to and criticise, and he has had some terrible performances in Europe. A lot of people have said that instead of trying to defend the attacker, he backs off far too much and has cost Celtic in Europe. I understand where people have like their dislike towards him or they don't think he's good enough. For me, I don't know. I feel like going down the tunnel, straight down the tunnel at half time or half time, full time. I feel like that. I don't think it's that big of a thing, and I don't think people should read into it too much. But I also think fans singing for a homegrown talent that's coming, hope, well, potentially coming back to the club. I don't think there's any malice in that either. I think Brendan Rodgers has potentially gone looking for something that maybe isn't there. And I think Greg Taylor's reaction, he should just have went round and did what the rest of the team do, because it's not as I personally don't think it is disrespectful towards him, but I do see why he's done it, but I don't know. I feel like in life you can either make things easier or make things difficult. And I think he's just ultimately people will look at that and be like, "You're not that good, mate." Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, but it's probably also important to keep, players like Greg Taylor on side because of, as we've seen this year, European Cup and league campaigns. Kieran Tierney's had a lot of injury problems, and we're speaking hypothetically. If he does come in, this is a player who is maybe likely to get himself an injury. If you annoy Greg Taylor, who's now been linked with, you'll all remember Zagreb, if he goes, then you've got to find yourself another backup, and then you're in the position that you're in with Liam Scales, for example. If he has to come in on a European night, you feel a lot less secure. So it's more about, maybe Greg Taylor is in the wrong, but you do have to have an element of maybe thinking about how he feels. I know it sounds stupid to say, but you've got to, these are football players. They all have egos, and they're, maybe rightly so. You've just got to look out for him and just see how he feels.
No, I mean, as I say, I think that's fair. We've touched on Celtic, we've touched on Rangers, we've went through these results. There were still a load more games in the Premiership. Dundee United were taking on Hearts today. Both teams sort of going into the game, you were thinking Dundee United were probably going to be the ones that would come out and win it. Hearts did eventually win it 1-0. Had Dundee United won, that would have taken them to within 3 points of Rangers. They now sit level on points with Aberdeen and Motherwell, only 4 points behind them, and they are themselves 6 points off of Rangers. Hearts now 8 points off of the bottom. They are, if you're a Hearts fan, you're probably thinking, okay, we're in a good space. Rewind a couple of weeks ago, we were in a terrible spot, but they're in a good spot now. Get into that game. Did we think Hearts had any chance, or did we think the Dundee United sort of momentum would keep on rolling, Archie?
Well, I mean, in the midweek game earlier this week, we saw a really wasteful Hearts side, and against that was against Motherwell. You know, the goal can always come too early, but when they had the chances that they did, I think it was at 15, 16 shots. You know, they should be causing more trouble, and it actually just ended up being more hope for Motherwell in that game. Ultimately, they had a Craig Gordon to thank for that. But again, it's happened here. It's really clumsy, and it's just another 1-0 win. So when they won that game against Dundee, I think they snatched the game late on. And I mean, I saw it earlier. You know, in first half, I think that's more than any other side in the league that they snatched the game. Not first half, in the second half, they snatched the game in the final quarter. You know, when facing final third attacks and defending, they're fine, but they're not producing any of their own, you know, only at the very end. And we're coming back to Craig Gordon's save here. It's not a massive worry, I suppose, for Dundee United. It's been the odd goal that saved them in games, but, you know, ultimately you need to be seeing more. So, yeah, you know, a really clumsy game for Hearts, I think, to get that 1-0 win. But I think it's just reflective of what we saw in midweek as well, you know, and that's why they're in the position they're at the moment.
Mac, what about yourself? Dundee United have been on somewhat of a roll, picked up points against Celtic. What did you think? A strong performance from Hearts, or an off day for Dundee United?
It's such an unpredictable league, isn't it? It's just, if I personally, I would have seen Dundee come out of this with all 3 points. They've been in quite a good run of form. Hearts have can they buy a win at times this season, and then they go to Tannadice, which is probably, well, maybe not so much now, but it did definitely used to be one of the trickier places to go, especially even for Celtic and Rangers. And it's just, I think it's a big win. As you've mentioned, they're 8 points clear of St Johnstone, who, I know it's match day 22. I'm going to consign St Johnstone to the championship. That's my opinion. I don't see any way back for them. It just seems that in that relegation fight are just getting better, and St Johnstone have just plateaued, even with the new manager bounce lasted 2 games. So I did, was surprised to see Hearts leave Tannadice with 3 points.
That's an interesting point. 8 points off bottom now. It does feel like St Johnstone they've done the Livingston from a couple of years back, and they've literally lost the grasp on the team above them to even just pull them into a relegation dogfight. What about yourself, Finlay? Big performance from Hearts. Maybe a lack of one from Dundee United, but I guess Hearts probably looked at it and thought, we need this more than them, even though Dundee United would have been within touching distance of Rangers.
No, you're right. And you always trust Dundee United to snatch a result, no matter how badly the game's going. They just have that about them. And Sam Dalby, it's just been exceptional this year. Jack Walter is arguably, he's up there with keeper of the season. But I think Jim Goodwin made the point, and he's probably right. The side are running on fumes, and it's not like their key players can be switched out that much. They don't. It's not a depth thing, but a quality outside of the starting 11, and I think maybe they're just starting to tire. I don't think they'll fall out of the top six. They've done really well to catch up with Aberdeen, you know, been the architects of their own downfall. But I think January is going to be a difficult month. They've got two Old Firm games and another two games against St Mirren and Dundee. So out of the four games, three of them are away. I think basically just get through this month, see if you can rest anyone, maybe take a hit with the Old Firm games. But I wouldn't say it's the end of the world for Dundee United, and I think it's very impressive that Hearts are starting to hopefully add an element to their game where they can kind of close out results, which is something they've not been able to do before because, you know, for all the good play and all the possession, they just looked very brittle. But I think it's made things, apart from St Johnstone, very exciting, kind of from 11th to third, it's all, in a 2 weeks' time, it could be completely different.
Yeah, I think there's what, like 11 points in it. Hearts on 23, Dundee United on 34. There's within a couple of weeks, the whole dynamic could change. Just on Max's point, are we consigning St Johnstone to the Championship? Does anyone want to jump into that hole with Mac and make sure he's not lonely in there?
I would say 8 points is a lot for most teams, but I think it's especially difficult for a side who are playing as badly as St Johnstone are. I think he mentioned the manager bounce did last two games and they played some impressive football, but Kimpioke, Sidibe, Kirk, and Nicky Clark, they're just not putting out what they were when things were going well. What I would be interested to see is do St. Johnstone, they're not giving him a transfer window yet. Do they completely abandon the style of play that they've tried to go for? Or maybe do they dig their heels and go, okay, maybe we will be in the championship next year, but I back us to go back up next year. And maybe we should invest in this kind of style of play and just give him some time. But I heard that Simo Valakari was giving his own players a row after that game because it, from the sounds of it, was a horrible performance.
Okay, Archie, what are you thinking? You like to sometimes do things a little bit differently.
I think now relegation is definitely the word on everybody's tongue when it comes to St Johnstone. I didn't watch the game that they had earlier against Dundee, but I think their big problem now is thinking about recruitment, particularly now going into this second half of the season. Like Finlay said, do they change their entire style of play in a last grasp hope of making themselves attractive to new prospects? And I really don't think they're going to be able to do that. I think, I can't comment on what their recruitment schedule's been in the past couple of transfer windows, but in this form, you're not going to pick up anybody, nobody of note. And if you see yourself just going, down to the championship, then it's all about how do you bolster yourself for that, I suppose, and how do you ensure that you can come straight back up. So I think now they have to prepare for the worst. I really can't see another result where they're not going straight down with automatic relegation in this. But yeah, I think something has to change ultimately just to make sure that they can pick up players who would want to possibly come over to them.
Okay, Mac. I think probably most people are in agreement with you, not just Finlay and Archie, but I think probably most people looking at the SPFL table will be like, "That's a little bit too far now." But no, that's absolutely fair. You've raised really good points in terms of Simo Valakari. Do they stick with that style? Do they look for something different? It'll be an interesting one. They had Dundee in their sights today, came out on the wrong side of it with a 3-1 win. How much of an important performance is that for Dundee then? That then takes them up the table slightly to eighth. They were sort of hanging around top six for a while, seem to have like dropped off of it just now, albeit by 2 points, but still, it seems like anyone's game now to finish in the top six, but it's still an important win, especially when they have Rangers at Dens on Thursday night, Finlay.
No, this is a fantastic result for them away from home. And I think Dundee don't always get the credit that they deserve. I can't really always put my finger on it as to why that is. Maybe they're just not a particularly interesting team for, non-Dundee fans. But I absolutely love Simon Murray. I think Lyle Cameron is a terrific player. And I think Tony Doherty deserves a lot of credit. Every year he brings in was in the staff bringing the right loan players. You think Owen Beck last year, and every year a group of those key players leave and they have to keep replacing them and keep getting this squad to gel. And they always seem to be just a kind of hair's width away from the top six, despite that. So, they're probably the way Dundee play, it's win one, lose one. That's the way it goes. But I think they deserve a lot of credit for the way they played today and the way they dominated.
Matt, what about yourself?
What I keep forgetting about Dundee, I keep forgetting they lost Luke McCowan on deadline day and how instrumental he was to how they played. So I'd cut them some slack for the poor form. They were a team I was getting worried about just because they were in the top six for quite a while, and then a bad run of form, then just dropped and dropped and dropped. But today it won with a bit of emphasis. Three early goals, it would do them the world of good. And to echo what Finlay said, Lyle Cameron, he's sort of stepped in to what fill the shoes of Luke McCowan. So as good. And then it's not just, like as I said, it's not just a they've not just scraped a win, they've went on the road and they've got a very good win. I think that is that. And then somebody wait, correct me, is that a derby, St Johnstone and Dundee? Is it the Teesside derby or something like that? I don't know. Somebody not qualified, me will be able to know.
It is a derby, I'm pretty sure the fans of both Dundee clubs aren't the biggest fans of St Johnstone. It definitely is to an extent. It's a rivalry. I don't know if I'd go as far as calling it a derby. I don't know. People will pick up on this, I reckon, but it's like Celtic and Rangers, derby. I'm gonna go out here. Aberdeen and Dundee United. I don't think that's a derby. I think that's a rivalry. It's the same with Liverpool and Man United. It's not a derby. It's a rivalry. People can disagree with that, but that's what I would say. I would say it's a rivalry more than a derby. Does anyone want to disagree with that?
No, I completely agree with you, your point.
Love it.
I don't want to turn this into a geography lesson, but it's mainly about a derby is geographical location, and a rivalry is just like when you hate each other. I made somebody made a good point. This one is don't know if you've seen, it was the Free Each game with Falkirk and Dunfermline, and
Yeah.
then they were like, "This is the Scottish football equivalent of Brighton and Crystal Palace." It's two teams that are on the coast to each other but just absolutely hate each other for no reason.
That's where I'm at on it. But I really do hope people disagree with that because I'd love to debate that. I've lost what I was going to say there. Lyle Cameron, him and Luke McCowan, I think, worked really much in tandem last season, didn't they? So to see him now kind of doing what Luke McCowan did and sort of growing into his own role, it's nice to see, and it was a strong win for Dundee. Our next match that we're taking a look at is Kilmarnock dropping points to Ross County. By the way, Kelly didn't get a man sent off. I think this is a podcast first. They've normally each week we're coming in, we're talking about, oh, Kelly down to 10 men. This week they kept all 11 players on the park. This is fantastic. This is Scottish football in 2025. I love it. Massive win for Ross County. I think a couple of weeks ago we were talking about Ross County's away form, and that's sort of seen a little bit of an upturn over the last couple of games. Massive win sort of today. Then they had one at Aberdeen in midweek. And even against Dundee on Boxing Day, it's been a strong away run for Ross County. Get into that match, Archie. Did you think Ross County would be able to sort of get that result against Kilmarnock? Kilmarnock sort of dipping and diving in terms of form.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've touched a bit on league climbers, haven't we? We've talked about like Dundee and such, but I think County are definitely in this kind of conversation, three in the last four with their wins. Fatigue was really big on that Kilmarnock side, I felt. Marley Watkins was left on his own a lot of this game, and of course, the whole side were just so sparse, especially in that first half. And I think the lack of the attack at the front means they're nothing threatening to show. But like Johnstone County, they've been in heavy conversations of dropping down, but now they're only 3 points away from six, and that's the first time actually three away wins in the Premiership for the first time in their history, which baffles me. That really surprised me, that stat. But it's one to watch, isn't it? It's maybe the result is a bit more of a lifter for the club rather than getting the fans swept away, with prospect of like a really high table finish. But It just means they're in a more stable place now, and I think you want that for your team, don't you? So yeah, they've done massively well, and they did really well to scrape out the victory, get the victory they did today.
Archie, I guess, not Archie, sorry, Archie. Finlay, I guess for yourself, what did you think? Did you think once County had got that, the phrase monkey off their back, that they could then start picking up more results away from home? Or did you think, look, this could be a wee one-off?
No, I mean, like Archie mentioned, a long time since they'd won away, and I think it was September 2023. So maybe one away win, two away wins, that's understandable. But three is rare for every team except Celtic, it seems, on the trot. And everything I had criticised them for towards the beginning of the season, which was, earlier in the season, away form and lack of goals, they seem to be kind of responding. We're depending a lot on Ronan Hale for goals, but in comes Harman, all these players, Jordan White, Nisbet, they're all kind of stepping up and doing their bit when Ronan Hale isn't playing as well. And I think this is, a very impressive result for them, given that Kilmarnock at home is not easy for anyone, which also begs the question. I don't understand what is going wrong with Kilmarnock, because a lot of people point at fatigue, and yes, everyone is going to be tired, but Kilmarnock's schedule is not that different to what it was last season. I know they had a few games in Europe at the beginning, but they've fallen away massively. I don't know what is going wrong, apart from, the discipline you mentioned, which is, it's absolutely insane how many times they can get themselves sent off. I don't even think I see that in Sunday League, but something is going slightly wrong. It's just, it's no, but it's baffling. Like I joke, but it's baffling that you can kind of, after that many years, lose your head as a professional like that, week in, week out. But if any of you can put your finger on why Kilmarnock can't string a result, more than one win on the bounce, then I would love to hear it, because I absolutely have no idea.
I don't know. I don't even think Derek McInnes knows the answer to that. But Mac, what about yourself?
It's another result that's just completely took me by surprise, because usually I think you tend to back Kilmarnock when they're at home. It's that polarizing plastic pitch, but full credit to Ross County. That's two away, well, three away wins on the trot, but the last two coming at Pittodrie and Robbie Park, that's places no team fans is going to. So I think I made a point in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, one of the first ones within. They hadn't won away from home since September 2023, and then as soon as they get one, they just went, well, no, this is actually quite good, and just keep winning. So was surprising, and Ross County is another team I was worried about, but they've created that gap between themselves and St Johnstone. I think they'll maybe dangers of finishing 11th if Hearts find a bit of form, but at the moment they look quite good.
Okay. Motherwell versus Aberdeen. At the start of the season, if you'd looked at this game, you would have sort of been like, Aberdeen will probably run over the top of Motherwell. Motherwell without the very good Lennon Miller. However, they ran out 2-0 winners at Fir Park today against 10-man Aberdeen. Massive performance from Motherwell. Massive win. Takes them into fifth, into within 4 points of Dundee United and 3 points clear of St Mirren. They are firmly in the top six. How massive is that for them? But also, how daunting is it for Aberdeen? Aberdeen were challenging for the title, some would have told you at the start of the season. Such a turnaround from them. We'll start with you first, Mac. First on Motherwell, then on Aberdeen.
It's a big win for Motherwell. They showed how good they can be in that match against Rangers with the draw. I was probably they were probably should have got all 3 points. Obviously the VAR mistake with the goal. But we're not here to talk about that. We'll talk about the game at hand. Today it's a big win. I think despite Aberdeen's form, it's always big. I think seeing them lose is a bit of a surprise, because you just think they're due a win. So big result for, but it's just, I think it can only be described as a monumental collapse for Aberdeen at the moment. I'm surprised they're still third. It's just since that
They're not,
one
they're
defeat,
fourth.
was that?
They're fourth.
The other fourth, well, I stand corrected, but it's a long time coming. It's just that long before I win. It's, and as you said, they were title challenges at one point, so don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know where they take it from here.
Finley, what about yourself?
I mean, I almost feel bad for Aberdeen. 10 games is a lot to sit through, and Aberdeen fans weren't necessarily the most patient after just one defeat, so let alone kind of 10. I think Jimmy Tolimo himself probably struggle for answers. Won't be helped by Rubisic getting a red card. Like we, I talked about the indiscipline to kind of go for a not full, but like a kind of headbutt on Tony Watt when you're already a goal down. I don't really understand what the thinking is. Maybe everything that's happening around the club and all the results are kind of getting to him, but just something's not clicking there. They're just lacking the energy. It seemed like they were fine without Miowski, but you know, Nisbet and Sokla, they're not really doing it for them. And I think if Jimmy Tillian has made one kind of prayer over Christmas, is that Papagei somehow makes it back, you know, any second now. But Motherwell played really well, and I think they, you know, completely deserve this. I think they would have been surprised by how easy it was for them. And I think what they'll do is just take this one game at a time, as they would probably say in every press conference, just see if they can put some distance between themselves and Hibs. They've got a game in hand on them and they're 4 points up. The next game that they have is just a real opportunity for them to maybe put themselves in that top kind of group and just secure a place in the top six.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fair. You talk about Aberdeen, I think after that 6-0 defeat to Celtic in the League Cup semi-final, that's, I think, when it kind of turned. They came out of that, and I think they beat, I think it was Dundee they bet straight after that, and people thought, okay, maybe it's not had an effect. But then they lost to St Mirren, they drew with both Edinburgh teams, they lost to Celtic, they drew with St Johnstone, and now they're on a winless run of five. 3-1 defeat to Hibs, 4-0 to Killie, 1-0 to Dundee United, 2-1 to Ross County, and then today 2-0. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, they've got Hearts at home, Rangers away, they'll get Elgin City in the cup. That should, in theory, take care of itself. No disrespect to Elgin City fans, but unless we're in for the cup exit, shock exit. Well, then again, it's Aberdeen. They lost to Blincandarvel, so never mind. But they've got a massive few weeks coming up. It's going to be important for them. Motherwell, equally. They've got a massive couple of weeks coming up as well. They've got Killie away, Hibs away, St Johnstone away, and St Johnstone away in the cup as well before they're at home to Celtic. Three chances there to try and pick up maximum points. I think out of that game, Hibs will probably be the most difficult. Archie, how did you see that game unfold today?
Well, I think we've talked already a bit about what's going on with Aberdeen, but you know, what is really the problem, I think, is the big question, because I think Taylan's got so much of a bigger problem on his hands now than it may appear, than just a loss to Motherwell. There's a real mental block now around getting those kind of results. You know, too much had already been done in that first half today, and you know, kudos with them for 10 minutes, but they really need to get a clamp on it now because they're fourth. And we've talked about all the teams that are climbing up on them, you know, getting that way to the top of the table. You've already established yourself with how much of an imperial form you had at the start of this season. How the hell are you going to continue it, and how are you going to bounce back? And there's no answer to it now with a 10th game that they've lost in a row. I can't even imagine the turmoil that Aberdeen fans must be feeling. You know, credit obviously to Motherwell for their game today. You know, they're catching up to Aberdeen now. I think they're fifth, aren't they? So, you know, like I've said, there's a lot of teams who are, you know, making that way up the table. But it's food for thought, isn't it, about how you're going to improve this Aberdeen side. But you know, I think the problems lie much more than just what's on the pitch or the stats that are coming off of it. You know, we've talked already a bit about sports science. How about we talk about sports therapy? How are we gonna heal these players, I suppose.
Your one-liners, I have to say, have been tremendous. What an addition to the podcast alone. No, Finlay, I think you raised a good point about Jimmy Tulane wanting Papa Gay back. Archie, you just spoke there about what potentially changes for them. That could be a change, I think. I think Papa Gay coming back into the team could be a massive boost for Aberdeen, but I think when you look at where they were 10 games ago to where they are now, I don't think most people thought they were going to challenge Celtic toe to toe, fist for fist for the title, right? But equally, I didn't think they were going to slump to fourth within a matter of months. It just didn't seem plausible. So it'll be a really interesting one for Jimmy Tulane to navigate. But yeah, that is us for this week's episode of Scottish Football Covered. I'd like to say thanks to Finlay, Archie, and Mac for coming on. Tremendous as usual. This will be available, as always, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we'll be out a little bit earlier. I'm going to try and edit this a bit, maybe announce this for everyone, but we're going to try and get it out for roughly about lunchtime most weeks. But yeah, starting from next week, we're going to try and get it out for lunchtime, so you can get your lunchtime fixed. Guys, once again, thank you for joining us, and we will see you all next time.